From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of March 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Along the way, I'll update you on all the agricultural news for the day, and we'll hear about the agricultural weather forecast. Josh Darr at Chesapeake Energy will join us from his Chicago, Illinois office from the 22nd floor of the Boeing building to tell us all about the agricultural weather forecast, not only here in the Midwest, but around the globe. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the July wheat, or rather in the nearby March wheat futures, settled at 370 3/4, down 7 1/4 on the day. The May at 381 3/4, down 7 1/4. And now the July, that's the harvest month, $3.92 1/2, down 7 1/4. And that's actually the corn pit. Let me go back and catch those for you correctly. March wheat futures, 492 3/4, down 13 3/4. The May at 504 1/2, down 14 3/4. July at 516 3/4, down 14 1/2 cents. From Kansas City, hard red at 510 1/4, down 10 3/4. Recapping the corn pit, you heard those numbers already. 370 3/4, down 7 1/4. The May at 381 3/4, down 7 1/4. And July futures at 392 1/2, down 7 1/4. September 399 3/4, down 6 1/4. And December contract at 406 1/2, down 6 1/2 cents. March oats, 220 1/2, down 1/2. March soybean futures, 952 1/2, 1 1/2 higher. May at 962 1/2, up 1 1/2. July at 970 1/2, up 1 1/2. And November contract at 942 1/2, 1 1/2 higher. Next year's January beans at 951. Up 1 1/2. March bean meal futures at 271, down 220. The March bean oil at 39.50, up 21 on the day. Mercantile Exchange, April live cattle, 91.72 1/2, down 20 cents. March feeders at 102.10, up 105. April lean hogs at 72.95, 15 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Futures in the crude at $78.70 a barrel, down 96 cents. Ethanol at $1.69 2/10, down 2 2/10. The natural gas off 13 4/10 at $4.67 9/10. And the RBOB gasoline at $2.15 7/10, down 3 cents today. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.02 1/10, that's down 1 1/3 cents. And the gold futures at $1,117.80, a settlement price there down 50 cents on the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,391 is up 66 points at this hour, and the U.S. dollar at 80.64 is up 2.28 for the day. The CRB index at 272.71 is down 0.206 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like, as prepared by our own Mike Sola. He says this afternoon should be in the northwestern part of Illinois, partly sunny. A few sprinkles and areas of drizzle be possible in the other areas where it should be mostly cloudy, especially in the south. Highs will range from 35 in west-central Illinois to 46 in the south. And then tonight, in northern sections, cloudy, a few flurries. In the central and the south, mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 21 in northwestern Illinois to 31 in the south. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy skies. Highs will range tomorrow from 33 in the north to 41 in the south. The extended forecast says these seasonally cool conditions will give way to a moderate warming trend for the second half of the week. Sunshine, though, will be limited, as will the precipitation, until weather system arrives and brings warmer temperatures and the threat of significant rainfall for the first half of next week. That threat of flooding will be limited, too, by the moderate rate of snow melt and the return of cooler temperatures following next week's storms. More on the ag weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy.
available to Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agriculture support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On this Monday afternoon, we're joined on the line by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, how did you like the overnight trade and how things changed throughout the day today from what you saw last night and last week?
Well, being bullish, I liked the market there last week and liked the overnight trade. Did not like the day trade. We kind of gave up the momentum as the clock struck 9:30 this morning as the market turned on the defensive, for say. Saw the strength come from the bean oil side of the equation. The Brazilian bio policy is to have 5% bean oil in their program, so therefore it did set off a tender to pick up as much as 400,000 tons of Brazilian bean oil, and so that sort of supported the world vegetable oil market, for say, and that gave our bean oil complex support in the bean market so support there. But the bearishness came from just a lack of overall funds coming to the marketplace. The investment funds generally come the first part of the month to be a buyer. Buying last week was anticipating we'd see that buying come forward, and it did not come in there with the magnitude that the trade was comfortable with. So we saw quite a bit of liquidation today, fund selling. To confirm that, we'll look at the volume and open interest in the morning to see what those numbers show, Todd.
Are you concerned then that there was, I guess, a bit of a head fake last week on the idea, and the head fake really wouldn't be there, but that's what was the anticipation and the head fake by the funds that they would be in, and they're not really here?
Well, they're there. It's just what magnitude and what day. If you're what we're probably seeing is a strategic move in the funds on investment. You know, if somebody knows what you're going to do, you have the tendency to restructure for say. But that money, that's fund binds there. We're seeing the overall interest still in the commodities, for say, so we'll monitor as that goes on. But the overall trend is sideways to higher. The concerning thing today that's a technical point to observe is we had an outside down day in the corn. We made new highs last night, and we closed below the Friday's lows in the old crop corn. So technically, that's kind of a warning sign. Also, technically, those momentum indicators are starting to kink over a little bit. We originally projected market move sideways to higher into March 9th, so we wouldn't rule out we've got a top in yet, but failure to see the market go up and take out those highs, or if we start seeing open interest go down, suggests that last night's highs could be it here for a little while.
Well, producers won't be very happy about that. Are you suggesting, and you've been a bull, or at least you've indicated today that you're a bull, so, or were a bull, are you ready to change your mind about this?
No, we still like the scale-up selling approach. We recommend here new crop Deese corn here at this 409 to 412 to be a seller. We'd sell some more at 425, you know, have some orders above the market. Same thing in the beans. Be a seller here at this 945, 950, and then sell some more up around 975, 980, feeling that we've still got shot at those levels. But failure or failure to see this trend continue, then we'd want to, you know, come in and lower those objectives and add to some sales here a little quicker, because basically we're in the time window seasonally that these spring rallies, for say, start to give way, we could be subject to some lower prices as we go into the early part of the growing season.
Hey, Kurt, have you given any thought to what you're going to talk about next week at our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting? You're on the soybean panel with Wayne Nelson and Zuzalo, and Bill Mayer, and sometimes you come up with some good stuff. You got any great ideas for us next week?
Well, I'm still working on it. I know the pressure's on with that type of lineup, not only in our panel, but throughout the day. We've got to have some pretty good stuff to pass out. So, no, we're still working on what we're going to visit about that day. But that's a huge event. That's one of the most exciting meetings to go to. And I've heard so far you've got a huge pre-registered number there that you're working with so far.
I did not check when I walked into the studios this afternoon, but on Friday afternoon, I think that number was 303.
Wow.
And then I said that we were closing pre-registration that day, and after that, they told me, no, wait a second, we said Monday, so March 1st is the day they were closing pre-registration. So folks can still call in if they want to come in through our VIP entrance. It's $20 for the day, and that includes some donuts there at the Beef House in the morning, if you get it there early enough, and then the Beef House dinner at lunch, or Beef House lunch at lunch, I suppose, for the $20. And the number to call is 800-528-7980. Let me repeat that, 800-528-7980. If you call today still, we'll let you pre-register. More than 300 already pre-registered for that event. Of course, if you just want to walk in, that's fine too. But you're taking your chances a bit more than if you pre-registered, because there are an awful lot of people coming over to the event. You know, the Beef House is an amazing place, by the way, to really work with, Kurt. Every year, we don't really know how many people are going to show up sometimes, and it's been a long time since it's been 100 or 125, but sometimes we get 400, 425, 250, and the range is really wide. This year, it's going to be big. And the Beef House says, bring them on, we will accommodate them. So you're there along with Wayne Nelson and Mike Zuzulo and Bill Mayer and then a whole series of other folks. I know I'm looking forward to it, and so are you, aren't you?
You bet. Not only will we be passing on some good information, but we'll be learning too, because there's a lot of top analysts there that have good ideas. It's the event of the year, and I wouldn't miss it for anything.
All right. Thank you so much.
Very good.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Let me run down the rest of the folks that'll be on that all-day ag outlook. Not only Kurt, but Wayne Nelson and Mike Zuzulo and Bill Mayer, they'll make up our soybean panel, and then we'll follow them with a cash grain market panel. Brian Stark and Bruce Bostert and Brian Maple, all familiar voices on our air that you can hear. Joe Persaki, who's a stats division director out at NASS in Washington, D.C., will be here. And then a big panel including Sue Martin, Chip Flory, Steve Freed, Glenn Ring, John Bondurant, names you've heard on our air, but we don't talk to all that often, will be with us for our keynote market panel. We'll have a big producer panel. John Bondurant is a big farmer out of Memphis, Tennessee, and also runs Bondurant Futures. He'll be there along with Denny Stevens. And we'll wrap up the day with Ed Kieser in the afternoon for the Ag Weather, along with Dan Zwicker, Paul Cooley, Pete Manhart, Jackie Vakes, and Chuck Shelby. It is a magnificent event. If you have not been to the Beef House to our all-day Ag Outlook panel, please do. Call this number right now and reserve your ticket. It's $20. The number is 800-528-7980. That's 800-528-7980. Or if you can visit our website at willag.org and find all of the details. Again, that address is willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Up next, a news note from north of the border, where Canada has won immediate access to the Chinese pork market, but U.S. producers are still on the outside looking in. Canadian pork products are headed back to the Chinese grocery store shelves. Ag Minister Jerry Ritz made the announcement.
It does give us immediate access. The Chinese were over and recertified plants. That work's been done. We are the first country to be able to negotiate a re-entry into the market with a certificate. That goes a long way to validating our processes here in Canada. We're looking forward to that market.
It was worth more than $45 million to Canadian producers prior to the H1N1 ban. Ritz was asked what it meant for Canada to regain access to the world's largest pork-consuming country ahead of the United States.
I do know that once the Chinese get a taste for that top-quality pork product that we have here in Canada, that it's going to be really tough for someone else to bump us out of the marketplace. You know, we have the consistency and quality of supply that they're looking for.
The Canadian focus now shifts to restoring full market access for its beef around the globe. Ritz suggested that Ottawa had leaped ahead of Washington in that race, too.
The one thing that we have in our favor is, of course, our comprehensive move towards a traceability system that the Americans have now gone backwards on. So we certainly have that in our sights to move to the next level. That would certainly help us as we continue to move forward and open and reopen markets that were closed for BSE in 2003.
Canada's Ag Minister, Jerry Ritz, concluded that maximizing trade opportunities for farmers is a priority of Canada's Economic Action Plan. As for U.S. imports, last October, China announced it would resume imports of U.S. pork following the H1N1-related ban, but Washington and Beijing are still working out the associated terms and conditions. Senate Ag Committee Chairman Blanche Lincoln says it's time for China to follow through on its commitment with the United States. Lincoln and 21 other senators have asked Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack and U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk to do everything within their means to ensure the Chinese market is reopened as promised. Let's move now from pork in the export market to the domestic market and ethanol made from corn. According to data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, that's the EIA, U.S. ethanol production reached yet another all-time high in December of 2009 at 787,000 barrels a day. That's an increase of 131,000 from a year earlier. For calendar year 2009, ethanol production exceeded 10.75 billion gallons. The Renewable Fuels Association calculated that ethanol demand fell to 750,000 barrels per day during December as fuel ethanol imports totaled 504,000 gallons during the month. The United States enjoys a 22.3-day reserve of ethanol. Despite the trying economic circumstances, RFA President Bob Dineen says once idled, facilities are restarting and new biorefineries are coming online to ensure that the volumes of ethanol called for in the renewable fuel standards are met by domestic supplies. And we'll stay with ethanol of sorts as we close out our news segment. An expert work group created by the California Air Resources Board met for the first time last Friday. That group's charged with refining and improving the land use and indirect effect analysis of transportation fuels and will also evaluate key factors such as agricultural yield improvements, co-products, land emission factors, food price elasticity, and more, which might impact biofuels' land use values. Mark Stowers, that's POET's Senior Vice President of Science and Technology, says the low carbon fuel standard is an important piece of energy policy. Too important, he says, to rely on theories or unproven models. The work group is set to meet monthly through September before preparing a draft report in October and submitting its recommendations to the board on January the 1st of 2011. Critics warn, of course, the science behind the ILUC is not yet mature, and that the state's LCFS is under legal challenge because of the board's application of ILUC. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Tom Testel and Morris at 815-941-2184. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Jenny Springer of the Andersons right here in Champaign County is on the line to talk with us about the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Jenny.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, you know what I saw on the weekend Saturday? Not very far from the front entrance to the Andersons. They were shucking corn.
They were. We had that guy that finished up Saturday afternoon, and there's still about one or two other customers that still have some corn out in the field. Surprisingly enough, that corn came in and looked great.
Did it really? Good. Well, it was standing really well. I almost stopped and talked to him, but he was so far back in the field, I decided not to drive back there. And I figured he was busy and maybe perturbed at the same time.
So, yes.
Yeah, all those things. But the good news is the corn came in really good condition. How, speaking of corn in good condition, how are the piles out in front of your place holding?
We actually have the piles picked up. You know, we saw, you know, the corn went out there dry, but got 6 inches of rain on it and 3 inches of snow before we even got to touch it, and then it got some more. So we did see some damage come in from the piles, but not as bad as we had expected.
All right. And then you're still drying corn there?
Yes.
Every day?
Yes. Any day that we can, yep.
Any day that you can. And the condition of what you've got in storage, doing all right?
Yeah, it's doing okay. I think the biggest thing and what a lot of guys are seeing is that we're drying this corn down still, and we're just seeing a lot of fines come from that, you know, the fines and the screenings. So I think that's the biggest thing, fines and cracked and broken kernels.
How are the bases holding up for both corn and soybean?
They're both holding up well. I think you'll see the bases start to appreciate or see some premiums for number two yellow corn. If we start to see this warm-up that they're calling for, we could start to see some bins go out of condition with, you know, the unideal conditions that they went in the bins this fall.
Right, and if you were talking to your colleagues, how do you see bases moving over the next month as we head into the planting season? Will it tighten up or loosen up?
Oh, I think we'll see bases appreciate just a little bit. You know, we're going to want to try and get that good corn that's still out there to move.
All right, and your bids for the day are?
Cash corn, we're looking at $3.60. Fall corn, we're at $3.76. Cash beans, $9.52, and fall beans, $9.02.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cindy Springer is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on a Monday afternoon. Now, just a quick reminder that if you'd like to sign up and pre-register for our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, we'll still take your phone call this afternoon at 800-528-7980. I looked over the rail, and Marge is answering the phone calls this afternoon. I suspect she was talking to a few folks. I wanted to see if we could get an update on how many we've got sold. Let's just suffice it to say that more than 300 have already signed up. You can walk in if you'd like, but it's probably better for you if you sign up today. The number to call is 800-528-7980. Book your tickets right now. They're $20, and that includes the continental breakfast at the Beef House and lunch at the Beef House, along with our whole day long lineup. These are Eastern times. We'll start with registration at 8 o'clock Eastern. That's 7 o'clock Central Time over at the Beef House next week. And then our first panel is at 8:50 in the morning. We'll talk about soybeans with Kurt Kimmel and Wayne Nelson and Mike Zuzlo, along with Bill Mayer. That's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on Tuesday, March the 9th, next Tuesday, not this one, but the following one. Please do sign up. You can call this number right now. It's 800-528-7980. When I return, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including genetic. Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Despite signs of a recovery, the University of Illinois' Flash Index indicates that unemployment remains high. The author of the monthly measure of the state's economy says last month the index reached up to 91.5 after being stuck at 91.2 for 2 months. Anything below 100 marks the division between growth and contraction, where the Flash Index has been the last year and a half. Fred Gertz says corporate tax receipts in the state are showing signs that recession is breaking, but has yet to show that more people have jobs. He says the stock market has gone up the last year because of expectations, but businesses have become more efficient during the economic downturn, letting them do more with less people. Catherine Reuter's father says the intensity his daughter saw when competing in Vancouver wasn't close to what she'd experienced before. Jay Reuter and wife Beth were at the Winter Olympics competition to see their medal-winning speed skater daughter and Champaign native compete, winning silver and bronze medals. But Jay Reuters says the competition was fierce, particularly in the 1500-meter race, in which he says even getting into a position to finish in the top three was quite an accomplishment. Catherine Reuter finished fourth in that event. Her father says she fought as hard as she could, and that's all he ever could have asked of her. Reuter is a 2006 graduate of Centennial High School. The chancellor of the University of Illinois' Springfield campus is set to retire this fall. Richard Ringheisen announced this afternoon that he'll step down October 31st. The 65-year-old Ringheisen describes his tenure at UIS since April of 2001 as the pinnacle of a long career in public education. Despite the nearly constant challenges during that time, the U of I Springfield campus transitioned from a two-year school to four-year university during his years as chancellor. University trustees will act on Ringheisen's retirement at the March 10th meeting in Urbana. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley says he's optimistic the city will prevail against what he calls the gun industry's challenge to the city's handgun laws. He spoke at a news conference today, a day before the U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments on the constitutionality of Chicago's handgun ban. Daley says cities and states should be able to decide how to best protect their citizens. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On this Monday afternoon, time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is on the line with us. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Hey, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. We saw a little sunshine over the weekend, and the temperatures, at least the highs, are up just a bit. Is it going to stay that way and get warmer?
I think we have some good news on that front finally here. It's more clouds and sun to start off this week, but as we get into the middle and back half next week and even through the weekend, a warming trend starts, and we'll actually start to see above normal temperatures, which is something we haven't said in a long time. It looks like we could get to the upper 40s and even break some 50s central and southern Illinois early next week. And what's happening is we have a couple small disturbances moving across the southern U.S. this week. We have a bigger storm system develops early next week across the central plains that puts Illinois in the heart of the Midwest and southwesterly flow ahead of that storm system. We get into the warm sector, which the storm track this winter has been Gulf Coast, East Coast, allows us to get some warmth here. And then we'll get rain on the backside of that storm system Tuesday, Wednesday next week.
And then after that, we looking at more rainfall as we get into the middle part of March. And I guess mostly I'm concerned at this point, not about here in the Midwest, mm-hmm. but what happens in the Delta and maybe possibly flooding in the northern part of the Midwest.
Yeah, that's a good question. It looks like the storm track, which has been very persistent south and east across the U.S. so far this winter, does lift. And this system starting next week is storm number one. It looks like you have more storms line up behind that as we go through the middle third of the month. So that brings, to call it a storm track from the Central Plains to, say, the Great Lakes. For the Delta, that would bring showers and thunderstorms on the cold front, but nothing of significance, nothing that would really bog things down in the Delta. But for the northern Midwest, that could be a somewhat of a stormy pattern, more precipitation, start melting the snowpack, and as thick as the snowpack still is across portions of the northern Midwest, northern plains, too, that starts to lead to some concern about flooding as we get into the middle and back half of March.
Still far enough out that things can change awfully quickly that
Absolutely.
Far out. How about turning your attention to South America, then, talking about harvest progress there?
Yeah, good question. The northern belt has gotten into an active period here, which started late last week. We saw daily development of thunderstorms across Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, Goiás, a kind of key northern soybean acreage there. Looks like the thunderstorm activity persists this week as above normal rainfall, but then as we get into next week, you start to see some breaking down of this active pattern. It starts across Mato Grosso do Sul first and pushes north and east. And by the end of next week, things look better to kind of pick up a harvest pace here.
Any other final thoughts before I let you go for the day?
I think we're good, Todd. Thanks for the time here today.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
And that is Josh Darr. He is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media each and every Monday afternoon. You can hear Josh and all of the voices from the Closing Market Report, the pre-opening and opening market reports, our midday report, and Commodity Week. It's our weekend program right there on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. You can also find the lineup for our all-day Ag Outlook. That's not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We sold a lot of pre-registered tickets for that, more than 300, but that doesn't mean you can't come by and see us. We'll take your money at the door. It's $20 for an all-day event. And all of the details are at willag.org for the all-day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.